To all of you who are just joining us, we'd like to welcome you to day 10 of the 33-day path. This is our live Q&A call, and Panache is just getting ready to start. So, Panache, tell me what's going on in the chat board.
Well, what's going on today is this whole conversation of I'm unworthy, I'm unlovable, and I'm not good enough. And what I want people to know is that the more you're resisting articulating these sentences, the more you need to do this exercise. And that ultimately, you are not giving them power, but you're actually taking their power away from them. Because as long as these sentences remain unconscious, you'll remain unworthy of your innate blessings. And so it is pivotal that you muster up the courage to feel your fear about articulating these phrases and just articulate them anyway. Do it anyway and watch what happens.
And Panache, very quickly, because we've got thousands of people who have never done any work with you before. They purchased your book. They're doing the 33-day path for the first time. So many of us have come from a place where, you know, we say our affirmations, we speak it out to the world. I am beautiful. I am loved. I'm going to find Prince Charming. And today you're telling us to speak to the world, I am unworthy. I'm not lovable. And so help us understand quickly why we can speak those very powerful comments and not feel a vibrational repercussion from that.
Because our thoughts in and of themselves don't have any impact on our reality. And so basically when you just articulate a belief that's there, you know, if there's in the absence of any emotion, it doesn't come into fruition. And so the reason why these unconscious conversations are held in place is because of the unresolved emotional content. And so the soul exists on the subtlest level. The layer beyond that is the emotional layer, and then it's the unconscious. And so what's feeding the unconscious is the emotional trauma or the emotional wounding that hasn't been experienced or felt through to completion, because emotions are just energies in motion. And so that is why it is pivotal that we flip our existing transformational model on its head and recognize that thoughts in and of themselves have no power. If they did, we would be in big trouble. And
right.
Now what we're being provided is an opportunity to change our energy and change our lives by dismantling all of that emotional content that's there that keeps the unconscious in place, that keeps the conscious in place, and it ultimately impacts the body.
Perfect. Panache, we're going to go right to a Skype caller this evening. This is Teresa. Teresa, Skype caller, you are on with Panache.
Is that me, Teresa?
That is you, Teresa. Welcome. How are you?
Wow, this is fantastic and magical. I've been on so many calls and never had this opportunity. So
we were waiting for you for this opportunity.
Oh, okay. Well, I have. Well, first I want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart, both of you. You're saving my life. What can I say? I mean, This is such powerful work, and the timing is so perfect for it for me. Yeah, it's making life on this planet a whole different experience. So that's powerful.
Thank you. Thank you. Do you have a question for Panache?
I do. Well, I had today thinking about the three phrases. The one that has still a little charge for me is I'm not good enough. Mm-hmm. And I think from the work we've done, that probably comes from an ego place. But there's also a deep feeling I have a what could be called a degenerative health issue. Mm-hmm. And I hear about people having miraculous cures and wonderful things happening. And I've really put all my energy into evolving and being as healthy as I can and finding what I need to learn from this health condition. But it persists. It's very stubborn, and there's a part of me that says, okay, well, I'm not good enough to heal it. I don't deserve one of those miracles.
Well, I think often, you know, we place too much emphasis on things being different. And I understand in this case what you're going through isn't easy on any given day. But what I've discovered actually is that the acceptance of what we're going through opens the door for harmony and balance to be restored. And so it's almost like, it's kind of strange because it's almost like the more we wish something didn't exist, the more we're keeping it in place. Or the more we're trying to actively change something, the more we're just keeping it in place. And so the best course of action in this instance is the path of least resistance, which is quite simply, you know what, I have what I have. And through my willingness to embrace what I have, I can then begin to feel whatever there is to feel underneath all of this that's holding it in place. And so I would try that. I would just give voice to whatever the underlying energy is, whatever the underlying label is, and just get to, okay, you know what? This is what's going on, and ultimately it's not about it changing, but it's about me finding peace in the midst of what is going on. And the more I can do that, the more I'm going to get the message, come back into harmony, and whatever this is about is going to then work its way through me. That's a very different way of looking at it. Most people invalidate themselves because of what's happening on the surface layer of their lives. And what I want you to know is that it doesn't validate you and it doesn't invalidate you. It's just an experience that you're having and that it's okay. And that the more in truth you can begin to come into harmony with it, the more you'll work through it. And then at that point, it may go away. But also at that point, it may not go away, and it will no longer matter that it hasn't gone away. You won't invalidate yourself anymore as a result of the outcome of it.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
All right.
Yeah, so often in life, you know, because things aren't shifting and things aren't evolving, it's like we make ourselves wrong. And what I'm saying is that you don't need to do that. Just continue to embrace whatever's coming up, continue to feel whatever there is to feel, and relax into it and accept it and watch what happens.
Okay. Well, with your support, that certainly is easier. And I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Panache, our next caller is from, I'm going to say this, Kennewick, Washington, 3879. Caller, you're on with Panache.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. This is, I'm Lynn.
Hello, you're on with Panache.
Great. This is so exciting. I have one question, and it's kind of hard for me to say it, but it's a family member that lives with me. He lives with me on my property in a motorhome, my brother, and he is constantly telling me what to do, making suggestions, criticizing me, and I've been dealing with it pretty well, but it's still just like it's kind of an underlying current that I just can't get away from. And I know he's here for a reason to help me, but, you know, I don't know if I need to know what the reason is. But I just like to be peaceful and, you know, peaceful with him and be able to, you know, just, I guess, deal with it
so,
in a positive
so
way.
What you need to do is move in with him.
Yeah.
Until he doesn't bother you anymore.
That might
and
not
then,
be a
and
bad
then,
idea.
And then he'll probably just move on of his own accord,
huh.
Spontaneously, because he will have served his purpose. You see, as long as he bothers you, he's not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've learned to run towards those people that bring me discomfort, because that's where the freedom is.
Mm-hmm.
And so the opportunity here is to embrace this individual. And by embracing them, put an end to the irritation that you've been experiencing and feeling. Because quite frankly, nobody should have that much power over you.
Yeah, I agree. It's just
so
hard enough how to deal with.
I think you should move in with him.
In his motorhome.
Yeah.
Might not be a bad idea.
Yeah, just say, you know what, I'm going to come stay with you in your motorhome. And just let every button get pushed and feel all the discomfort there is to feel and watch what happens.
I'll let you know.
That in truth really is the purest definition of spiritual retreat. You know, often it's like we run away from people, places, situations and things. And what I've discovered is that running away from things doesn't make them go away. It's only when we have the courage to sit there in the midst of the discomfort and to feel whatever there is to feel that we find the spaciousness that awaits us on the other side.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, and
thank
you for your book.
Thank you, sweetheart. I'm glad you're enjoying it.
All right.
Now, panache, and I know you tell that to everybody, run toward the discomfort. I have a question for you. If people take you at your word and run towards the discomfort and they're in a conversation or in a situation with people who irritate them, make them angry, bring up emotions, as you say, it's a button pusher's convention, what is the next piece of advice? Because if you are immersing yourself with someone who pushes all your buttons and you're newly into this program, how do you not lose it, fly off the handle, fall back into old patterns and behaviors?
Well, the answer is in the chapter on anger is basically, you know, when anger arises, if we can just relax in the midst of it, then ultimately it washes through us. And that's what that's really what I've discovered, is that the more we can just be available for this anger and the more we can be available for the discomfort, the more it washes through us. And then at that point, we're free. And so I would highly encourage people, if you're having a hard time with somebody, please go and spend time with them. Don't avoid them. Because what you're doing is you're robbing yourself the window of completion that's available to you. You know, you're robbing yourself of that blessing. And so, you know, don't rob yourself of that blessing. Always in life, run towards the discomfort. You know, and seriously, like if there's someone that really irritates you, spend time with them and really, really get to a place of neutrality around that relationship, because, again, nobody should have that much power over you. Nobody should be able to impact your peace to that degree.
And then go back and continue to practice those insights that you give them about, you know, breathing into the present moment and putting it in neutral.
Absolutely.
So that you're being stretched into all that you're capable of.
Absolutely.
All right. Panache, we're going to Boca Raton, Florida. This is Skype caller Cindy. Hello, Cindy. You're on with Panache.
Hi, Jan.
Hi.
Nice to connect with you guys.
Thank you. It's wonderful to connect with you. What question do you have for Panache tonight?
Well, today's reading, one of the three statements was about feeling loved. And I frequently go back and forth with this where it's almost like bipolar because I'll feel such tremendous self-love. I'll feel like I'm in a really good place of really understanding, feeling connected to my soul, to source, to humanity. And then something will happen with my mother in particular, but kind of both my parents. And it just brings up these underlying nagging feelings of not fully being loved unconditionally by the, you know, people that you expect in life fundamentally will love you unconditionally.
And that's your issue right there, is that you expect people to love you. And I mean that with all the love of my heart, because here's the issue. It's like you're looking for love from people who don't love themselves. And this is what we do in life. It's like we look to individuals for something that they don't have inside of themselves, or that they may partially have inside of them. And then we wonder why, you know, we're never being provided, you know, what we truly want and desire at the deepest level. And so the key is to not look for this love and acceptance from them, but to really discover it within yourself. And to take the time to undergo that exploration, because that's really what soul signature is. Soul signature isn't navigating the dependence or the interdependence of life so that we can adapt to situations and people. Soul signature is actually coming into the profound acceptance of yourself so that love arises spontaneously from within, so that it isn't dependent on anyone or anything around you anymore.
Mm.
And that's what's available to you. See, as long as we seek the approval of another, we will always suffer and be miserable.
Yeah. I know, it's hard. It's hard, though, you know, with this parent-child thing. And as a new parent, Panache, I think, can you even imagine what it would be like if your, you know, one of your daughters felt like they weren't loved by you unconditionally? I mean, it just seems like that is such a given. It's such a almost like natural law.
Yeah, but you can't hold your parents hostage for the awareness that they don't have. They just don't have it. They don't have the awareness. How can they give it to you?
Well, I know what you're saying. I'm trying, I guess what I'm trying to rationalize is I understand like spiritual awareness, but spiritual awareness seems to be very different from what like love would seem to be a natural, instinctual, almost baseline. Like
here's
something that doesn't require higher levels of insight.
Here's the newsflash.
Okay.
It absolutely isn't the baseline of human experience. Not right now.
Okay.
Fear is the baseline of human experience right now, and separation.
Yeah, I feel that.
That's why, you know, spirituality and this greater awakening, this greater remembrance is pivotal in our evolution, because the more we evolve out of fear into love, the more love will become our new baseline.
Okay.
See?
So then how do I negotiate my relationship with them?
Your relationship with them is not a negotiation. They are who they are.
Okay.
And at some point, that is going to have to become good enough for you.
Is it okay for me to be, I don't know if selfish is the right word, and just be self-protective and do what I think is best for me?
You know, I think the answer is the book. And I think ideally the more you embark on this journey that's laid out for you every day through this book, the more you're going to come to the answer yourself. And I personally can't wait because it's only day 10. And if you look at the progression, it's out of fear into love. And I think that the answer is really you undergoing this progression in yourself is going to create the shift that you're looking for in the people around you.
I hope so.
I know so.
Thank you. The book is amazing. I'm glad you finally came out with one.
I'm glad I finally came out with one too.
Yeah. I mean, I love your, always love, you know, being at your seminars and, but it's so nice to have a book that, like, I can share with other people and say, here, you know, here is something, you know, and take it with you everywhere you go kind of thing. It's lovely. So thank you.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. You know, that's a tough question, Panache. So many of us are holding, you know, parents, siblings, ex-husbands, ex-wives hostage for the love we feel we should have gotten and we didn't. And as you said, the book will take us through the progression. But as we kind of sit with that as it unfolds, what is it, you know, what's the self-care thing that we can do? I'm not talking about being selfish or dropping people out of your lives. What is that present moment awareness thing that we can do to sort of help support us as we come to the answers ourselves?
The self-care thing is simple. The care and feeding of yourself and the nurturing of yourself is the care and feeding of the divine. I think often in life we look for things from other people that they don't have the capacity to give us, period. Now, to continue to do that is both an insanity and a source of suffering. To continue to look for something from someone who doesn't have the capacity to give it to you and to keep expecting that is a form of insanity. The greatest act of compassion that you can offer yourself and every other human being on this planet is to love yourself, to become sane, and to end the insanity. And that happens through the care and feeding of yourself, the nurturing of yourself. And only you can define what that is. You know, for you, it might be getting your hair and nails done and having lunch with your girlfriends and spending time being with your friends or being by yourself or giving to you. That isn't selfish. That is, in fact, the precursor to self-love. And it's important to fill up that tank. And so for me, even reading this book and embarking on this journey is an act of self-love, to take the time every day, you know, the 10 minutes in total, whatever it is every day that you need to do this, is an act of self-love. And so please stop prioritizing your life from the outside in and shift your focus from the inside out. It has to originate from you in order for it to exist in the world. It has to.
All right, Panache, we're going to the chat room. This is Portland, Oregon. I'd like to ask for some clarification about how to let go of my story, which is my history, my life experiences. It is just a matter of reframing. Is it just a matter of reframing my experiences? How do I see my experiences without a victim mentality? being made a scapegoat of my family and a lifelong rejection from them for who I am has deeply affected my sense of self and feeling acceptable and lovable. Thank you very much.
You know, one great thing that you can do is just to actually write out your story and just to keep reading it over and over again until there's no charge anymore, until it just becomes a story. Like, I've discovered that when I'm talking about me or my past, it's almost now like I'm talking about someone else. There's so much spaciousness there. Now, there are certain aspects that still trigger me. Those aspects I have to revisit until they don't. But ultimately, who you are now is completely different than who you ever were. And by disassociating your authentic self from that story, you're actually freeing up the dynamic potential that's always lived there, that is beyond time and space, that's unbounded, and that isn't even impacted by the story, nor can it ever be defined in a story. It's actually the sum total of every story ever told. And so one great thing that you can do is just to write down your story and just to keep reading it over and over again until there's no charge anymore. It's just a great way to just very effectively integrate the past.
All right. For those of you just joining us, I'd like to welcome you. We are in the middle of tonight's day 10 call of our 33-day live Q&E check-in. Don't be frustrated if you're just joining us. This whole call is being recorded. It will be made available to you within an hour of the program. And so you haven't missed out on anything. Indeed, this is the exact moment that you were supposed to be joining us, and we are just glad that you are here. If you would like to have your questions up for consideration, please press star 2 right now. Star 2 if you are joining us via Skype or the telephone. And if you are joining us on the internet, go ahead and type in your questions and on the screen in which you joined us with tonight, and our team will be handing them on to us right now. And we're just so honored that you're all here. Panache, right now we are going to, we've never been here, Bammel, Texas, I think it's 6261. Bammel, Texas, are you on the line? Hello, 3261 caller, are you there?
Yes.
Hi, who is this?
Yes, this is Sarah. Oh, I am so thrilled. Hello, Panache.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Oh, I'm in Katy, Texas, and I'm Sarah. Oh, this is an honor for me to get this call because I almost missed it. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Do you have a question?
I even forgot the question.
Oh, that's great. Well, you can just say hello. That's fine.
Hello.
So how are you enjoying the book?
I'm behind a few days on the book.
That's okay.
I'm on Anger, number 3.
Good.
Yes, and it's just a really awesome book, an awakening for everybody, and I really thank you. I have struggled with finances for the last few years, and it doesn't matter how many jobs I get or hold at one time, I'm still behind, or I don't know what it is.
Well, I think that ultimately in undertaking the journey of the book, you'll begin to discover what it is. And I just want to say something. You know, regardless of where you are in the book, I'm happy that you're starting when you're starting and that it ultimately it doesn't matter when you start. The 33-day program that accompanies the book is evergreen and it will live on way beyond the completion of the first 33 days. And so please know that if you're just coming to it and you're starting on day one, fear, it's okay. You know, if you're actually just doing the program without the book, that's okay too. This is a living, breathing expression of the energy of this book, and it's wonderful that you're here, and I'm grateful that you're here. And the answer to your question is actually through the progression of this book. It's like I don't want to give you a spoiler alert, because you'll get to one of the 33-day sections and that one of the 33-day sections will unlock more financial abundance for you in your life than you've ever allowed yourself to have. And so just keep going every day. Keep experiencing it every day. And thank you for the blessing and the grace that brought you to this book in the first place and brought you into my life. I love you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I love you too.
Thank you so much. Panache, we're going to stay. Let's hold on. Oh, my thing is going, my control panel is going just simply crazy. We've got so many people on tonight.
Just another lesson that your control panel has no control.
Is that not the story of my life?
So that'll be a new chapter in my next book.
All right.
Control panel has no control.
All right, Panache, we are back in Plano, Texas. This is caller 2382. Hello, caller.
Hello. This is Yoshi. How are you, Panache?
Hey, Yoshi. How you doing?
Yeah, all right.
How are you?
Oh, great. You know, like I told Jane that when I held your book in my chest, you know, I was so overwhelmed and was happy. And I have never experienced that peaceful happiness in my life before. Thank you for the wonderful book you wrote for us. I really appreciate that.
Thank you, Yoshi.
You're welcome. You know, my question is that I have my grandson living with me, and I don't want to be mother to him, so I just tell him something and I wanted him to do it. And he said, yeah, Grandma, I will do it. And then he forget it, he won't do it. And so I don't want to scold him. You know, he's 22 years old. But, you know, I just start and doing things and I try to not go into that feeling of mine. So I start cleaning the house or I had to do something else. And then gives me a lot of energy back.
Yeah.
And then so after that, it says, I think life become much more smoother. And then when I cannot handle myself, I just say to God, thank you very much. And that gives me energy, so much energy. Then everything I had in my heart is, I didn't know how to move the things around, but it does move things around for me.
Yeah.
And it gives me such energy. So, you know, it has been wonderful life I'm receiving because of you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sweetheart. You know, Jan and I went through a very similar thing with Sam. Sam has very severe learning challenges as well as the fact that he's a boy. And what we discovered was that boys' brains aren't wired properly until the age of 25. At that point, you have to learn to not take things personally. And sometimes you have to repeat yourself 3 or 4 times in order for them to hear what it is that you have to say. That is why rental car companies will not rent cars to anyone under 25 years old. So Yoshi, it's not personal. It's just that his brain isn't wired properly. His synapse is not firing properly. And so you'll have to repeat things a few times, but that's okay. That's okay.
Yeah, so, you know, I just say once, and he doesn't want to listen. I say, he's not ready to listen yet. He's
no,
still
he can't
young,
hear you.
So he has
no.
to grow up. Yeah.
Well, it's not that. It's just he can't hear you, and he can't even process what you're saying because his brain isn't even wired properly.
Okay, all right, good. Oh, that's nice to know. Thank you very much for great advice.
You're welcome.
All right. Thank you, Yoshi.
Thank you, sweetheart.
You're welcome. Take care. Yeah. Thank you.
All right.
Yeah, I think, you know, if we let parents know that, I think they'd feel a lot better about things because I think often, like, you know, we'd have to sometimes tell Sam about 7 times to do one thing. And sometimes you think it's about you and you get frustrated. Am I not saying it properly? Is he just being rude? It's not that. It's literally men's young adult brains are not wired properly until the age of 25. So you have to repeat things over and over again. So that they can hear it. It's not they're blowing you off. It's not they're being rude. They don't even have the ability to process the information.
That's right.
So,
they're not neurologically far enough along.
Exactly.
And
so a little neurobiological lesson for you there, folks, in
there
conscious parenting. Yeah.
You've got it. Oh, Panache, we're going to run to the chat room real quickly. This is Shannon in Waterford. She says, "While I'm so happy to be in this place, why did it take 59 years to come to a place where I'm starving to work on everything you are about? I'm so curious because I really want my 30-year-old daughter to have this insight and joy."
Yeah, because you're hard-headed. And because sometimes it takes us to go through certain experiences and have the illusion of time and have certain experiences until we realize that life as defined by society is an illusion, and that actually success as defined by society is a false promise. It's like, it's amazing to me that we have to wait to receive this. Like, my greatest wish is that one day this be just integrated into a school's curriculum, and that kids begin to get this earlier and earlier and earlier, so that they begin to understand that there's something greater propelling them along. And so maybe I'll work on that for my next project. But for right now, you know, ultimately, giving your daughter the book is the beginning of her evolution, and the energy of the book will support her. And so, you know, we get to it when we get to it. You know, we arrive at this when we arrive at this. You know, Jan was 50 when I met her. And prior to that, she'd had no exposure to anything spiritual. And that's true for so many people. It's a question of our soul's development and that yearning becoming so strong that it draws an answer into being. And that yearning has to become more powerful than the illusion.
And you know what I love, Panache, when you say that, that yearning has to be stronger than the illusion. That feels so much better than you telling this incredible Shannon in Waterford that she's hard-headed, because...
Well, that's true, too. No, that's true.
I know, but
well,
that brings about judgment in people. I mean,
no, it's
we
not
can't
judgment.
Come
no,
to it
true.
Until the moment before we're ready to come to it. Isn't that true?
Yes, and also I think we as human beings are fundamentally change-resistant, and that's what I mean by hard-headed. It's like we have this ultimate resistance to change, and that's deeply ingrained. It's like we're afraid of what we don't know, and that's what I mean by hard-headed. It's like this stubbornness and this bull-like willfulness where we stick our hooves in the ground and we will not be moved from the reality that we know until the reality that we know either starts to crumble or it just becomes unworkable in some way, shape, or form. And at that point, we're prompted into a greater expression. And so being hard-headed is ultimately holding on to a version of how we believe life is supposed to be, or how we believe life is supposed to show up, or how, you know, we're told life should be, instead of just remaining in the flow. And we all have that. I had that. That's why I had to have that experience. That's why it took that, you know, incredible experience for me to shift out of my skepticism and my yeah, right. We all have that. And that's why this is so important, because I think the more we start doing this and the more your daughter at the age of 30 starts doing this, the more she's going to tap into this flow and this ease and this grace and this synchronicity that's available to us. And so yeah.
Absolutely. Indeed. You say that, you know, on another level, you know that every person who has this book, that each book is going to go through at least 5 sets of hands, correct?
Yes, I firmly believe that every copy of this book will be read by 5 different people. It's going to be the kind of thing where you'll read it, it will come into your life, it will fundamentally alter the way you see yourself and your life forever, and you will then just pass it along. You know, it's going to be the ultimate act of paying it forward. And I can't wait, you know, I can't wait to see that happen. Yeah.
Panache, we're going to Orono, caller 3223. Caller, you're on with Panache.
Hi, Panache. This is Barry. I'm going through a difficult period right now. My dad passed away almost 3 years ago, and I'm struggling to have a sense of direction and to resolve some inner conflicts and to stabilize my financial situation. I'm wondering if you have any intuitive guidance for me.
Well, I think the main thing is to basically just get complete with this relationship with your father. So one of the exercises in the book, and I'll share it with you now, is just to close your eyes and just to see your father as you remember him, and just to see yourself giving him a hug, and just to be open to feeling all the emotion and all the energy that's there until he disappears or just becomes a part of you. What will start to happen then is that naturally from within you, you'll start to feel this inner yearning to move in a particular direction. It's like a passion gets ignited. And this father piece is an important piece. I created a webcasting series, actually, about this because it was such a pivotal thing that was a common theme that kept coming up for people called Mother, Father, God. And this webcasting series was about bringing into harmony those three relationships with your mother, with your father, and with the divine, because I realized that every single human being is incomplete in either all three or one of those three relationships. And so see your father, see yourself giving him a hug, experience all the emotion that's there until there's nothing there anymore. He will disappear or he'll become a part of you. Or go back through the webcasting archives and just do Mother, Father, God, and particularly focus on the father piece and just watch what happens as a result of your participation in that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Barry. Panache, we are inundated in the chat room with questions from people who are frustrated because their books haven't come yet,
mm-hmm.
and they feel that they
Why
are
Why haven't
falling...
their books come yet?
Well, honey, they could. People are writing. We've got people writing from Australia. There are people who are writing
That's
from all
of... That's why
their
books haven't come yet, yeah.
Well, but the point is... There are people who are frustrated because their books aren't there yet. They're frustrated mm-hmm. because they feel like they're falling behind
mm-hmm.
and that perhaps they should be on a certain day in the 33-day path and they're not there.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
there's a whole lot of stuff going on, and I'd like for you to take
yeah.
a few moments while we're in the middle of this, while everybody's on and very present, to give some clarity around how this 33-day path should be unfolding.
You know, you're already on it. And by virtue of the fact that you're having these experiences, you are so on it. And already everything within you that needs to come up is coming up. What I've discovered is that, especially with vibrational transformation and with this sharing of this energy, it starts working on people even before they start consciously taking part in something. And so if your book hasn't arrived yet, that's a great thing. You have more time to marinate in that which is unconscious and unresolved in you than anyone else does. And so I wouldn't see a delay as a delay. A pause is not a pause. It's an opportunity for us to come into harmony with ourselves so that we can receive in an even greater way. You know, in some cases, people are going to go through all of these things even before they read the book in preparation for them to be able to even read the words that are on the page and imbibe them, you know, and really receive them in every cell. And so, please, if you haven't got your book yet, be frustrated fully, wholeheartedly. If you're sad about that, be sad wholeheartedly. You know, if there's any level of fear or anxiety or stress around it, be in that energy. Ultimately, again, the 33-day program is a standalone, and you don't need the book in order to do it. So participate in the 33-day program until your book arrives, and trust that this is unfolding absolutely perfectly for you. Because it is. I've just seen it over and over again. You know, people coming to live events, you know, for some reason or another, there's an issue, there's a complication, you know, they're coming, they're not coming, things happen. And ultimately, in the midst of all of that, a delay is not a delay, a pause is not a pause. It's an opportunity for them to work through everything they have to work through. And so, trust in this. I'm sorry that your book hasn't arrived, but I'm not sorry, because it's providing you a catalytic moment of conscious awakening to allow you to follow that evolutionary impulse that lives within you.
And let's take a moment and just talk about the 33-day path. I want everybody to know that those chat rooms that are open on every day get visited every single day. So whether you're on day 10, day 4, day 1, we are going back and we are plugging back in. Each day lives in and of itself. This is a living, breathing program that we're so honored to have created the
yeah.
way we had, so that you could feel free joining it when you needed to. If something comes up in your life and you have to skip a day, you don't have to get freaked out. Don't panic under any circumstances. This is a program that's bringing you into greater spaciousness. And indeed, when something does come up, it's a great opportunity to practice those incredible insights and wisdom that Panache is sharing throughout the program. Isn't that true?
I concur wholeheartedly with everything you just said.
Oh, I love that. I'm just going to sit with that for a little bit.
Enjoy it while it lasts.
Thanks. Thanks.
I'm just kidding.
We're going to Gatineau, Quebec. This is caller 0595. Hello, caller. Are you there?
Yes, I'm there. Hi, Jan. Hi, Panache.
Hello, Samash.
Yes, oui, Samash.
Yes,
I'm Louise.
Samash. Hello.
Oui. I'm so grateful to be on the call.
Fantastic.
I didn't hear what you said. Sorry.
I said fantastic. I'm glad you're calling me from the poutine capital of the universe.
Yes, the best poutine.
How can I help, sweetheart? What would you like?
Okay. My question is, how can I be more in stillness? That's a big challenge for me. Like, I could do it, like, little short period of time, but not very long.
You know, you have too narrow a definition of stillness. And what I mean by that is, you know, people have certain prerequisites or requirements in order to be still. And what I've discovered is that that doesn't work. What I've discovered is that every moment is an opportunity for stillness. And what it has to do with is our awareness, where we are placing our focus and our attention. And that's why I've created this new form of meditation, really, which is living meditation. And living meditation is a form of wakefulness, a wakeful aliveness. And living meditation is simply being aware of that which is unfolding in each moment, which is just observing your breath, your inhalation and exhalation. So it's time for us to stop doing meditation and time for us to just start living meditation. And that's really what the next expression and the next evolution of everything that I'm doing is. It's helping people understand that mindfulness is an entry point to heartfulness. And that really we are alive and awake in every moment, and that our ability to be fully available for that transforms every moment into a sacred blessing. So resting in the awareness of your breath is the primary tenet of living meditation. It transforms your life into a living meditation.
I just love it.
Thank you.
Just love it.
Fabulous.
Well, thank you very much. And I love both of you guys.
Thank you.
Thank
and
you.
All my love to everyone in Quebec.
Thank you so very much.
Yay.
Oh, that was beautiful, Panache. We're going to go to Atlanta, Georgia. This is caller 0992. Caller, you're on with Panache.
Oh, hi.
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 Who's there?
This is Deborah, and actually it's a little bit of a misnomer. I live in Washington, D.C., but I kept my Atlanta number.
Look at that.
Honey, you're coming through as Atlanta, so thanks
well,
for picking
okay.
up.
Hello, Deborah
yes.
from Hotlanta, who's now living in D.C.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for taking my call. I've actually been on several of your calls and done a couple of your sessions and thoroughly enjoyed them. And I have listened to several of the callers this evening, and a lot of what they spoke about are very similar to situations that I'm experiencing where I feel frustrated by other individuals and I lose my power over that and I get more frustrated by that. And I also feel frustrated that I've done a lot of work, but yet I feel that I don't have anything to show for it. I'm frustrated with that. And there are times where I feel that I look around and I'm even more alone now. And even the other caller who mentioned an issue with her health. I mean, I've got health challenges as well, and I just feel like I'm being bombarded by all these different aspects in my life that, for whatever reason, just do not want to come into alignment.
Well, what's
and
the truth that you're avoiding?
The truth that I'm avoiding. Whew. The thing that comes to my mind when I say that is, I'm not lovable. That's what pops into my mind.
There you go. And are you actually on day 10 in the book, or did you just get the book? Where are you at in your journey?
I am on day. Hold on a second. I've got the book right next to me because I think I'm a day or two behind.
That's fine. So just know that when in 2 days from now you'll be on day 10, and it's all about handling this.
Okay.
As long as you remain in the unlovability of who you are, you cannot receive that which is innately yours. unworthy people have to work 100 times harder to have 10 times less than everyone else.
That is so true, and it drives me nuts.
Exactly. But that's all held in place through this unconscious conversation of I'm unlovable. And ultimately, what holds that conversation in place is all of the sadness that's there.
Yes, it's interesting you mentioned that. It's going through the book and the exercises and even watching certain movies, I find myself where I will become emotional and yeah. I tell myself I have to feel it, but for whatever reason, there's a block and it's very difficult for me to release.
Yeah, so just close your eyes for a second.
Sure.
And just look at your life. Nothing changes. Nothing's ever different. Just look at your life 10 years out. Just get present to the impact of nothing ever shifting. How do you feel?
Yeah, I feel a sadness, a heaviness.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, just keep your eyes closed. Now just look at your life 10 years down the road, now that the book's come into your life. How do you feel?
I feel a sense of hope.
There you go. Welcome to the 33-day path.
Thank you.
The moment this book intersects your life, it is the end of your world as you have known it. The very second this book intersects with your life, it is the end of your life as you have known it. By the time you are done with this 33-day adventure, you will have no choice but to accept and love who you are. That's why it's come into being. That's why everything happened. That's why these words landed on the page in the way that they did.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I look forward. I'm signed up for your class in Omega, so I'm looking forward to seeing you in July.
Yay, cool. I'll see you in Omega.
Yay. Yeah.
That's
fantastic.
Exciting. Okay, so since the caller did that, I'll just do a real quick. Panasha's going to be at Omega at in Rhinebeck, New York, and you can find out about it. You can come to our website or you can go to Omega in Rhinebeck. And he is going to be teaching this Soul Signature course live and in person, a 5-day course. So if you're interested in working in a small, intimate group with Panache, that's something you're going to want to check out. I'm very excited that he's going to be doing it. So thank you, caller, for giving us that introduction. I love it when that happens. Panache, we're going to go to Phoenix, Arizona. This is caller 3249. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Who's this?
This is Gertie.
Oh, Gertie, how are you? You're on with Panache.
Well, thank you, Jen. And hi, Panache.
Hi.
How can we help you tonight, Gertie?
Well, I want to thank you for the book and for the 33-day path. I am a little bit, my voice is a little bit gone. We have a lot of dust flowing right now.
Mm.
So I could have some help with my voice.
Well, just close your eyes and open your palms and we'll send you the energy. And just continue to just rest and relax throughout the rest of the call. All right, sweetheart?
Yes, and I also want to say thank you for the 33-day pass. That is really, it's really awesome for me.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gertie. Thank you, dear.
Thank you, sweet one.
Be well. Be well, my dear. Panache, this is from the chat room. And let me tell you, I know we get a lot of questions about this. This is Lynn in Santa Cruz, California. Panache, I've heard you say to the question, how do I stop worrying to simply take some deep breaths?
Mm-hmm.
Is there any other tips you can give me? I am always very, very, very anxious and worry about anything and everything. Please help.
Well, it's because you don't fundamentally trust in yourself and you don't trust in God. And so then you worry, you know, and people worry to such a degree that they don't even sleep at night because they don't trust in themselves. They don't trust in the greater nature of what's unfolding on this planet. And they have to second guess it. And so the only way to really address this is to actually relax and feel the fear that keeps this worry and this stress and this anxiety in place. Because it's the fear that holds all of this together. And in the absence of the fear, there would be nothing to hold all of this together anymore. This entire reality that you've got playing out wouldn't play out anymore. And so I highly encourage you to just stop, slow down, and breathe, and to experience the fear as it arises. And what you'll notice is that the more you do that, the less anxious you'll become. Ultimately, the fear is keeping you in the illusion of separation. And then when you're in this illusion, you're in fear, lack, and scarcity. The best that you can do is control, manipulate, dominate, worry, stress, obsess, all these different things that are now running, you know, amok in our modern world. So again, the key is to meet yourself with compassion and just to stop, to slow down and breathe and to experience what there is to feel. It will wash through you, it will be over, and the anxiety level, the stress level, whatever that is, will begin to diminish.
So again, the question was, she's already taking some deep breaths and she wanted to know if there was anything else.
No, nothing else. Just keep doing that. That's everything. That is everything. Connecting with our breath is everything. In the midst of these emotional experiences, stop, slow down, breathe, and watch what happens. Just keep doing it.
Okay. Panache, we're going to go to Seattle, Washington. This is caller 2467.
Hi, Panache. This is Cindy. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah. What was your name again? Sorry, that part cut out.
Cindy.
Cindy. Hi, Cindy.
Hi.
How can we help you, Cindy?
It's an honor to talk to you. Yeah. So my question is about making time for that program. I haven't even had a chance to order the book, but I've been sort of loosely following along. How do I make space for the things that I know I really want to do?
Well, I think the key is, you know, I made it really accessible because ultimately I know we don't have time. And so the morning section at most is 3 minutes, the afternoon at most is 3 minutes, and the evening is 3 minutes. You love yourself enough to do it, basically. You love yourself enough to make the time. You know, all of us has 3 minutes in the morning that we can spare. We all have 3 minutes in the afternoon, and we all have 3 minutes in the evening. And again, it's like your yearning to live your authentic self has to become more important than anything else. And so the answer is, love yourself enough to do it. Love yourself enough to dedicate that time each day to just reading these small, lyrical, poetic chapters. You know, they're not long, and they're not long for a reason. Because we live in a very busy world, and everyone has a very busy life. And so these are bite-sized portions. They're almost like poetic stanzas of consciousness that have the ability to fundamentally alter the way we see ourselves. And so make the time. Love yourself enough to make the time.
Good advice. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Panache, we are going to, one second, please. This is a Skyper in Wellington, and the first part of this person's name is Reach, R-E-A-C-H, in Wellington. Skyper, you're on with Panache.
Hi, Panache.
Hi.
Panache, I've been following your words for quite some time, and you know, a lot of it is about accept where you are, accept the what is, like a surrender in a way. And I understand, like, you know, you don't want things to be different. You just be with what is. So, along with all this, how does the vibrational transmission fit in? Like, what does that do? You know, if we are accepting and surrendering all the time,
Here's what happens. Accepting and surrendering opens the doorway to grace. Mm-hmm. And so the two go together. What I've discovered is that when we're in a place of resistance, there's no opening to grace. There's no opening to any other possibility. There's no opening to love. There's no opening to presence. There's no opening to what already is. And so there's two ways to do it. You know, either we come into the conscious acceptance of this, or we're graced into the conscious acceptance of this. I don't like leaving anything to chance, so I cover all the bases. So that ultimately, your acceptance through the application of grace exponentially increases, and spaciousness exponentially increases. So it's all intertwined, really. You know, they're both pathways to the same place, which is peace in the midst of life, which is the end of inner conflict, which is the end of inner turmoil. And so acceptance is something that we can do. It's practical. It makes it accessible. What I've discovered is the vibrational peace has accelerated everything. I don't know why. I don't understand it myself, but it has. Every single time, like every single time we do a 21-day program, or there's a live event, or there's an in-person event, or there's one of these calls, for some reason, everything accelerates. And again, I don't know why. The only thing that I can come to is just that we're all together here in a space of openness and grace, and it has a catalytic impact on our consciousness. And so they're both intertwined. It's like the more we open up to the grace, the more we have the capacity to be and accept. And the more we can be and accept, the more we open up to grace.
All right. Just a quick addition to that. Like, yeah, it's nice to accept and, you know, understand the importance of acceptance. But at the same time, like being human, you always, you know, even if I've ordered your book, it's not because I really want to accept where I am. It's because of a hope that, you know, through the book, something will change, something will happen. So, like, knowing that you really cannot accept everything is, do you have any suggestion words for that? And is it normal, or you still go back?
No, it's absolutely normal. I think on an egoic level, we have preferences. On a soul level, there's no preference. And I think that we're transitioning from an egoic level, which, by the way, is great. Like, I love your ego. There's nothing wrong with the ego. Our ego allows us to individuate oneness. In the absence of our ego, we would all be drooling around like zombies, and we'd be personalityless, and we'd be boring. So our ego is great. It's just that we don't understand its function. And so on an egoic level, you know, we believe that there's incompletion or there's something. But actually, when we can accept it and we can align our soul with our identity, it becomes transparent. And so there are absolutely things that you will not like. Don't like them. But understand that you don't like them because there's something within you that is resisting what is unfolding in your life. That's all. So don't like things consciously. See if you can do that. Because what I've discovered is that you can't not like something consciously. What you'll begin to realize is that your resistance to something is born of an incompletion within yourself. And there's always an emotion or something on an energetic level that's incomplete within us that we have to feel and experience. And the more we do that, the more our personality and our identity then aligns with our soul, and the more transparent we become. It's like we become translucent. The light of our soul begins to shine through our physical form, and it begins to impact everything and everyone around us.
Thank you for that. I know I'm taking a little longer, but just one final thing, Banash. You mentioned to a lady on the call before about the important significance of this book, and you said that the moment it intersects your life or your experience, things are not going to be as they were, or you're not going to be as you were. So is it true for everyone on the call, or is it true for the specific lady whom you addressed that to?
I believe that's true for everyone on the call because, you know, we're just alive at an extraordinary time. And it's no accident that while we're in the midst of this enormous remembrance of our divine potential, this book comes out. There's no accident. And so at that point, I completely wholeheartedly acknowledge the part that it has to play because in truth, I had nothing to do with its creation. It just literally flowed through me. You know, just as the energy flows through me, everything flows through me. So that which is born of the divine can only serve to bring the conscious remembrance of divinity to every human being alive. And that's the point of it, really. Like I even said to people, just hold it in your hands and meditate with it. Feel the energy of it. You know, reading it is one thing and going through the exercise is one thing. But I believe that you can even just hold it and feel the energy of this book and you'll begin to get the greater purpose of why it was written and where it's coming from. Because it's coming from a very different place. It's written from a very different place. The energy, the tonality, the resonance of this is a very different resonance and tonality and feeling. And so, yes, that's true for everybody. Yes, And there are moments in time where books have come along, people have come along to play their part in being that catalyst. And again, it wasn't because of them. They were the excuse through which it happened. And so this book is the excuse through which this remembrance is going to happen in a bigger way.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Skyper. Panache, we are going to Rockwood, Ontario. Rockwood, mm-hmm. Ontario. One second. I need to connect. This is 1384. Hello, caller.
Hi. Oh, my God.
Hi.
Hi.
Who is this?
It's Maggie.
Hi, you know, Maggie.
Jen,
you're on.
You know what, Jen? You know what, Jen? Hi. We're going to have to move to Canada because so many people
yes.
called me from Canada.
Yes.
I know. We have a huge, huge family from Canada.
I love you guys. I love you, too. It's just incredible. My life has changed so much since you've been in it. So I just want to thank you, and I want to thank you for this book. It has so much energy, and I'm starting to get nervous. Okay. I have noticed that I'm becoming really aware of how shallow I've been breathing. And throughout the day, thank God I'm self-employed because I have to take moments just about every hour or more just to stop, slow down, and breathe. And then I get back into feeling free again. So that alone, I have noticed a change in that just from this book. So it's incredible.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I love you.
Thank you,
Maggie. Too.
You know, that's true, Panache. This book holds so many incredible and powerful tools and insights and wisdom. And, you know, if you just take a few of them and apply them to your lives, you're going to be blown away by what happens. And if you stay on this path for 33 days, transformation is going to be the outcome. I mean,
you know,
that's just it.
I'm going to share something with you all. So, you know, when we were writing this book, I would always have Jan read the various chapters. And there were certain chapters that in the moment resonated more with her based on where she was in her life. And there were other chapters that she resisted. And going through this book and in reading every single chapter, especially the chapters that you resist, transformation was occurring at such a profound rate that, you know, I was just able to see the shifts that were unfolding in her. And I know for myself, just even being the vehicle through which this came through, I mean, my entire life shifted in a profound way and continues to do so. And so, you know, there's a real Shakti to this book, an energy to this book. It's a living, breathing thing, and it has its own vibration. And so when it comes into your life, it will fundamentally alter the way you see yourself and the way you see the world around you. And that's its purpose and function. And so I'm beyond excited.
Absolutely. And I want everybody on the call tonight to know that the book continues to be available through Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, all the web retailers. You can go ahead and you can go to our website and you can find all the web retailers, or you can order through our website if you would
like. Actually, you know what's great, actually? Like, if you guys have a local independent bookstore, go in there and see if they have it. Like, support these smaller independent bookstores. You know, if you live in a town where there's a Barnes & Noble or Books A Million, go in there. Go in the store and buy the book. It's so important that we keep these bookstores open and that we support them, because physical hardcover books are going to be a part of our lives, and I want them to stay a part of our lives.
Yeah.
And so please, if you have a local bookseller, go to your local bookseller. In the event that you live out in the middle of nowhere, order it through Amazon. They're more than happy to send it to you.
Or Barnes & Noble.
Or Barnes & Noble, yeah. Support your local bookstore and
Absolutely. Walk
in there and just be a part of the community and support this community effort in keeping these stores open.
Thank you, Panache. That's very, very wise and insightful. As well, if you are still waiting for the book to arrive, we appreciate your patience. Please, 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 as Panache said, know that everything is unfolding for a greater purpose. We are sorry for your frustration. We know your books are coming, so just be patient. What did you say, honey?
I'm currently in the midst of taking up the delayed book orders with the elves, so please forgive me.
All right. All right. You keep doing that.
Santa's got elves. I've got elves.
Yeah, you do have elves.
Except Santa loves conditionally, and I don't.
Okay. Okay.
Putting
I'm going to let you be with that.
I don't have any reindeer, though. I don't have any. He's way cooler. He's got reindeer. I don't have any reindeer.
Absolutely.
Not yet.
And I do, while you are still with me, I have a big favor to ask of everyone. We would love it if you would go on to Amazon.com and leave a review. We are really pulling together a nice, nice long list of reviews for people. People do go. They want insight from other people. And so you are doing us such a big favor if you are willing to log on to Amazon.com and go to the Discover Your Soul Signature page, and you can go ahead and log in and leave your review of this book and the power that it is having in your life. I am so grateful for you doing that. Our next Q&A check-in live teleclass is next Wednesday, May 21st at 7:30 Eastern Time. Go ahead, check the website for the time, Panache, what do you call it, the time thing, the time zone converter, that's what it is. And we will be sending reminder emails, and all the details are obviously available on the 33daypath.com. And for those of you who joined us late, don't panic. Access to the replay of tonight's call will be posted in approximately 1 hour and will remain available through the same link that you accessed for the live call. Please continue to tell your family and friends about the power of this path. Invite them on the path alongside you, or invite a whole group of friends and see what kind of transformation you can make in your life and in your community. Panache, are you still there?
Yep.
Do you want to say goodnight before I do?
Oh, is that it already? Oh, my God.
That's everything.
Really?
Yes.
More calls? That's it? We're done?
That's
God,
it. You just love
up.
On them.
Okay.
Love on our global family, will you, for just a moment?
So here's what I know for sure. You're not defined by your level of education, your race, your ethnicity, your gender, your nationality, or how you were raised. You're defined by something far greater that is just patiently awaiting a moment of remembrance within you. The likelihood of me being here and my being able to deliver this message to a global audience on paper is minuscule. It's just proof that we all have a greater destiny than we could ever know, and that when we begin to trust and surrender and allow for grace to come into our lives, we can do things that positively impact not only those around us, but the greater planet at large. I believe that you are here because you are change makers, that every single one of you is here to play your part in this greater shift out of fear and into love, and that is why you've found your way to these words at this time. I'm honored that you're here because I know it hasn't been easy, and there have been moments where, quite frankly, you've just wanted to pack it all up and go home. Thank you for hanging in there. Thank you for having the courage to turn and face your pain. Thank you for eradicating pain and suffering as an experience for all human beings within 3 lifetimes as a result of your commitment to experience and integrate your vibrational density. I am grateful for you and for what is unfolding within you, because the truth is you will never, ever be able to perceive and consciously know how important a part you are playing right now in the greater transformation of us all. So I give you peace. I leave you in peace. I love you all. And I thank you with all that I am for loving me.
It's been such an honor to be with you all tonight, all around the globe. On behalf of Panache and everyone at Team Desai, as Panache said, we love you and we thank you for loving us. Have a great evening. Goodbye.